Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And by the Lord's marvelous grace, it is my joy to look to the Word of God, the precious, powerful Word of God, once again this Lord's Day morning in the teaching and preaching ministry of the Word of God in fellowship with you. We continue today in Ephesians chapter 6. Please turn with me in your Bibles as you can. I'll soon be sharing the scripture from the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. Our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.simplesite.com. Hear now the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Friends, let's pray. Our Father, glory and praise, thanksgiving and honor, blessing, love to you now and forever, O God, true and living God, only God. And to you, Lord Jesus Christ, eternal Son of God, all glory, honor, love, and blessing to you. And to you, Spirit of grace, true and living God, honor and blessing and love to you. We thank you for this day of grace and blessing, this day of kindness and mercy. We thank you for the truth that we receive now in the Word of God, and we thank you too, Lord, that by your Spirit, you work through the Word of God. You speak to us and you change our very hearts and lives. And so I pray that once again you will have your glory to do that very thing in the ministry of the Word. Spirit, please speak and work and change our hearts. We give you thanks, Lord, to meet with you is our unspeakably great blessing, and we give you glory that you would enable us to do this very thing now. How wonderful you are, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. My friends, we continue with final considerations about faith or saving faith today. Final thoughts that I desire to share with you about faith, and the first truth we find in Mark 9, verse 23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And in context in Mark chapter 9, we see that after the transfiguration on the mount, there Jesus appeared in shining light and spoke with Moses and Elijah before Peter, James, and John. The Lord came down from the mount with the disciples, and he is confronted with the situation in which a father comes pleading with him that he will cast out demons from his son. And this is a really dire situation. The father says that from his early childhood, the boy is convulsed and falls on the ground and wallows, foaming at the mouth. The disciples had tried to do this. Remember, Jesus had empowered them to cast out demons. They did not have this power, though they believed in Jesus Christ, apart from the Lord granting them this authority. But he had given them such authority. They had failed in their attempts to cast out the demon from this boy. So that Jesus says in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes, to the Father who has said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 24 tells us, immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We see in the story the unbelief of the apostles, and we also see in the story the unbelief of the Father. Nevertheless, the Lord, who perfectly believed his Father, did cast out the unclean spirit from this boy. He is identified as a deaf and dumb spirit. Jesus commands the spirit, he comes out of him, and Jesus also commanded him to enter him no more. And so the boy is convulsed. Finally, he is believed to be dead, but Jesus takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and he arises. And so it is that the boy is delivered. The apostles are really a bit astonished at this, and they ask him privately, "Why could we not cast out the demon?" And Jesus says, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So that in this, we see the great power, the great faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see his clear declaration and teaching that the unbelieving apostles and the unbelieving man who yet did believe in him, we see in this that the man did have saving faith. He did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he, like we all do in Christ, wavered in his faith. His faith was, if you will, mixed with unbelief. And he is aware of this. He confesses to the Lord his unbelief. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And we see in this story that this really is the plight of those who believe in Christ. We struggle many times with unbelief, but we can take great encouragement in this, that if we do believe, if we can believe, because God has enabled us to believe, and we must note that not all can believe, but if we are blessed to believe, though, like the father of the boy in the story, we too must confess, "God, help my unbelief," then we do take courage, because the Lord surely will help our unbelief. And I want to encourage you, friend, that as you struggle with unbelief, though you are a true believer, God has saved you, you can believe, press on in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The Lord will surely give you grace to help. And I want to encourage you too with the thoughts from John Bunyan's piece, The White Devil, about this sin of unbelief, that unbelief is a sin, and it is seen in our lives in these ways. Faith believes the Word of God, but our unbelief questions the certainty of the Word of God. And faith believes the Word because it is true, but our unbelief doubts it because it is true. Bunyan helps us to see that faith sees more in a promise of God to help than in all other things to hinder, but our unbelief, notwithstanding God's promise, says, "How can these things be?" Faith will help us to wait, helps our souls to wait, though God defers to give, but our unbelief will take offense and throw all away if God makes any tarrying. Faith will suck sweetness out of God's rod, but unbelief can find no comfort in his great mercies, his greatest mercies. Faith makes great burdens light, but unbelief makes light ones intolerable. Faith brings us near to God when we are far from him, but unbelief puts us far from God when we are near him. And finally, faith helps us when we are down, but unbelief throws us down when we are up. We struggle with unbelief, but we who can believe are helped by the Spirit of God. And we are helped as we receive the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And amazingly, our God has mercy upon us and forgives our sin of unbelief and helps us again to believe. We come to Christ and are saved from our sins, and our lives after that, after regeneration, are a constant coming again to Christ, our great and lovely, blessed Lord and God, coming to Him by faith. And yes, at times coming in unbelief as we sin in our unbelief. And yet the faithful Christ receives us again and again and again and forgives our sin, the very sin of unbelief. And as we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Yes, the sin of our unbelief. And He is faithful and just to lead us from sin. His very blessing to us of the ability to repent, to realize and understand our unbelief for the sin it is a great evidence of His work of grace in our hearts. And so He leads us in repentance, and He leads us to believe in Him and to turn from our unbelief. Bunyan helps us to see the great evil of the sin of unbelief. And we see in this that those who are without faith, who are totally unbelieving, without Christ, who are not born again, sin constantly in these terrible ways, denying the truthfulness of the Word of God, denying the certainty of the Word of God, denying the Word that it is truth, and doubting the Word of God because it is truth. Those without Christ disbelieve God and say and really believe and feel in the depths of their hearts, how can these things be? And those who disbelieve God do not see the love in Christ's heart. In fact, they do not see Christ. And yet God faithfully declares to all the love of God in Christ Jesus. The unbeliever lives in this great sin of unbelief, but the believer at times struggles with the sin of unbelief, commits it, and yes, must repent of it. The believer's life is marked for the most part by his belief in Christ, in God, and in the Word of God, however. And we thank God that this is true for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another consideration this morning is that we find in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13 that the Lord tells us about those who simply believe for a little while. That is, their faith is not a saving faith. We might call it devil faith, as we find in the book of James. This type of faith only believes for a little while. It is not an enduring, continuing, lifelong faith, which saving faith is. This is a short-lived and temporary faith, which actually stops. It ends in times of distress, trouble. It ends in unbelief. This is a faith which begins but ends. It doesn't continue with Christ. But the true believer, that person who has received the precious gift of saving faith and exercises saving faith, will exercise saving faith, though he struggles with his unbelief, though he struggles with a weak faith, if you will, at times, to the very end, and he shall be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is of great help for those of us who are listening today who may be exercising this kind of faith. It is not true saving faith, which will believe only for a little while. I experienced this twice in my life before the Lord Jesus Christ saved me from my sins, before the Lord Jesus Christ caused me to be born again and brought into my heart saving faith. I believe for a short time, the first time when I was about 18 years of age, and I had a college roommate who was a Christian who shared the gospel with me and spent quite a bit of time with me in explaining the Word of God to me. And I saw something of Christ, though not in a saving way, in what he shared with me, and he led me in a sinner's prayer. And I believed that I was saved. I thought I believed in Christ, but my faith was short-lived. It only continued for a few short months. And then I had no reliance in Christ at all, and I soon turned from any outward expression of faith in Christ. I really concluded in my heart that what I had heard before was not true because I didn't believe it to be true anymore. And the second time in my life was about 6 years later, when once again I was confronted with the truths of Christ, the precious gospel, and I again saw something of the glory of Christ and the truthfulness of the gospel, and so I once again professed faith in Christ, but like the first time, I went along for a rather short time again, just weeks, and once again concluded in the depths of my heart that Christ was not true and that the Word of God about Christ was not true. And so once again, I turned away in unbelief from Christ, really believing in the depths of my heart that Christ is not the Son of God, having concluded finally in my own mind that he is not the Son of God. And so in both instances, I believed for just a little while. But when Christ saved me, that was about 33 wonderful years ago, and when I received this most precious gift of saving faith, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with saving faith, with an enduring, continuing, lifelong faith. I have believed in God ever since that glorious time of regeneration. I believe in him today, and I trust in him, knowing the nature of saving faith, that I will trust in him every day until he takes me from this world to go to be with him in glory forever and ever. And I do not take saving faith for granted, because I well remember how it is that I thought that I trusted Christ the two previous times and did not indeed trust in Christ. I am careful to look to God, to fear the Lord, to seek the Lord, to fill my heart and mind with the Word of God, in part because I experienced this temporary believing only for a little while. And for many, perhaps I should say biblically for most who believe only for a little while, there is a final falling away into condemnation. That is, most who believe for only a little while are really lost forever. I really believe God has shown me special grace and mercy in this, that I rejected him for so long and under such powerful influences of the gospel, and yet he did show me the greatest of mercy and grace and gave me saving faith. And so I am careful to meet my biblical responsibility to nurture that saving faith that God has given me, to exercise it, to tend to it, to cause it to grow by the hearing and obeying of the Word of God, if you will. We find too, my friends, in Ephesians 2 and verses 8 through 10, that subsequent faith follows saving faith. Now, this ties into what I was just sharing with you, and really the idea here, the truth here, is that we receive saving faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are saved from our sins truly, glory to God, and we continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because the subsequent faith to our initial faith in Christ, by which we are saved, continues. God sustains saving faith. I believe in him today, 33 years after my conversion, because God has sustained my faith for 33 blessed years. Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10 tell us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God appointed before that we should walk in them." In this section of verses, we see the progression, the faith that we exercise and are saved, saving faith, the gift of God given to us, and the sustaining faith, if you will, the subsequent faith that we exercise as we follow God in his appointments for us. So once again, we are encouraged by the nature of saving faith, that this precious gift given to the true saints of God will continue. James 2:19 speaks of faith which is not a saving faith. Again, there, James relates to us that there is a faith which is not saving faith, and that type of faith does not produce living works. Saving faith is expressed in living works, true spiritual service to Christ, real practical obedience for the most part in the Christian's life to God's commandments and requirements of him. Again, remembering that there are different types of faith, we are encouraged if we have indeed received true saving faith. John 6:36 tells us that Jesus says, "You see me, but you don't believe in me." Here the word of God says, "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." He's been telling people that he is the bread of life, and that who comes to him will never hunger. Whoever believes in him shall never thirst. And then verse 36, "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." Though the people saw him, many of them had seen the miracles. In fact, here he's speaking to people who had eaten the bread that he provided for them miraculously, also the fish, that though they actually saw him with their eyes, they did not trust in him. They did not believe in him with their hearts. Again, another indication of the nature of true saving faith. We who are saved today exercise, though we have not seen Christ. You see, it was possible that men actually saw him and saw the miracles that he did and yet did not believe in him. But if we believe in him in our hearts, we are indeed blessed and enjoy saving faith. In John chapter 4, verse 48, the word of God tells us about those who demanded miracles and signs of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not believe in him. The scripture tells us that the Lord comments upon this, that many would insist upon signs and miracles with the idea that if they saw signs and miracles, they would believe. And Jesus at one point says, "Unless you see signs and miracles, you won't believe." Here his conclusion in John chapter 4 is that there are many who demand signs and miracles, and even if they saw them, and many did see them, would not believe in him savingly. Saving faith, once again, submits to the will of God, praise God, and doesn't require a miraculous sign from God, if you will. Saving faith belongs only to God's elect. Jesus tells us in John 10, verse 26, "You believe not, for you are not of my sheep." That is, those chosen by God, given to the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "All of my sheep hear my voice." Once again, a reference to the elect. John 12:39, the word says, "Therefore they could not believe." And we understand that they could not believe because God had not opened their hearts to believe, or, if you will, gifted them with saving faith. It is a sin to not believe in Jesus. We find in John 16, verse 9. Saving faith, a faith that really believes in Jesus, is created, it is produced by the foolishness of the preaching of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 21 tells us, and Romans 10 tells us. Saving grace comes to us in the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the hearing of the Word of God, and saving grace then leads to saving faith for God's people. Our time is gone for today. We'll continue in our verse-by-verse exposition in Ephesians chapter 6 soon. Until then, dear friend, may the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for these wonderful truths that we have seen in the Word of God. And thank you for the blessing of filling our hearts and minds with the precious Word of God, the light of God, the truth. How refreshing and satisfying, Lord. How delicious it is to our taste, sweeter than the honeycomb. Thank you that this is a spiritual word, that this is life to our hearts and minds. It is strength to our souls and bones. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Until next Lord's Day morning, friend, may the Lord bless you.